Matthew chapter number 6. These last couple phrases in Matthew chapter 6 have been very beneficial, and as we've been trying to draw as much as we can out of God's pattern prayer and teaching us how to pray, we understand that our focus in prayer is God's great position and our submissive position and our need for Him in everything that we do, right? So everything that we do, we need Him if it's to be for His glory and His honor. And being part of the kingdom of God because of His salvation, because of what He did in our lives and us repenting of our sin and turning to Him, we understand, or we should understand as Christians, that this whole life is not our own, that we've been bought with the price, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And because of that knowledge, that causes us to live life differently. That causes us to live life with the focus of it not being about ourselves, it not being about our desires, it not being about our wants and wishes, but it being about Christ and Christ in His provision, and as it leads to His kingdom and one day His Father's kingdom, which we'll all be part of throughout all eternity. So when godly sorrow is realized, so let's read verse number 13 of Matthew chapter 6 first. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. Last week we looked at the path of deliverance from evil, how we trust God in His leading, that we need His understanding, His provision, His path, and leading us not into temptation, but delivering us from the wicked desires of the flesh. We acknowledge that that path of deliverance is godly sorrow working in us. And we looked at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and discussed all of that, or was it 7? Last week, we looked at it in detail as we looked at the many different ways that we prove through our action that we are not sorrowing according to the world, but we are sorrowing according to godly repentance, and that godly repentance leads to salvation. Now, what has God given to us in provision of leading us down that path? That's what our focus of our message is going to be on tonight. What has God given us to lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil? What path has God given to us to provide godly sorrow that worketh repentance unto salvation? We see when godly sorrow is realized, a complete dependence on Christ and His provision is acknowledged through, and lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. The provision is identified by dependence on the Spirit of truth. We know according to John 14:6 that Jesus is truth. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So we're being led down this path of truth through godly sorrow that works repentance in our life. That truth is not just a concept. That truth is a person and what his character displays to us. So on the Christian life, our provision into that truth is the Spirit of truth. No man gets saved unless the Holy Spirit draws him to Christ. No man gets saved unless the Holy Spirit works His miraculous work in an individual's life as Christ is lifted up. No man comes to salvation without that truth being identified to him through the Spirit of truth. And here the Holy Spirit is showing us there's a path that leads away from temptation and delivers from evil. And that path is provided through godly sorrow. That path provision to guide us into godly sorrow is guiding us into truth. And we need the Spirit of truth to accomplish this. So let's turn to John 14:15-26. John chapter 14:15-26. Well, I have to say that this is not original thought to me. I've been going through a book called The Spirit of Truth, written by Andrew Murray, and in chapter 9, he talks about the Spirit of Truth, and some things of his chapter really spoke to my heart and helped me identify this provision from deliverance of evil. It's funny when God is speaking to you how when you read the Bible, everything seems to go through that lens, and you're trying to be careful not to pull where you shouldn't pull, and you're trying to exegete from the scriptures instead of putting your opinion into the scriptures. But we see that there is this provision of leadership in truth that is given to us by the Holy Spirit. In verse number 15, of course, we know John chapter 14 through 16 and even into 17 is Christ and his speaking to the disciples, preparing them for his crucifixion to help them understand that it's an expedient, it's a good thing that he goes away, because he's going to send to them a comforter. The comforter is going to be the Holy Spirit that will lead them in truth, that will identify to them what truth is. So the purpose of this provision and leading into truth is found in verse number 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. All right, let me stop here. So the provision of this truth is to lead us in righteousness in keeping God's commandments, to lead us not into temptation, but on the contrary, to deliver us from evil. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, according to Psalms 119:105, a light unto my path. We can look at Psalms 119 and see how the word provides this truth to us. Well, what is God's purpose in this leadership of truth? That we will keep his commandments. That's his purpose of us going in his truth, to glorify him in his character as seen through his commandments. This is important that we understand that we need to understand God's commandments, but it's not just reading, it's just not knowing, it's this provision that he will give to you so that you'll stay in his commandment or on the path of truth. Verse 16 gives this provision to us. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. So in relationship to Christ's desire of love from his disciples, of love from his followers to keep his commandment, he knows that in and of themselves, they cannot keep that commandment. Because to glorify and worship God, we must worship him in spirit and in truth. Okay, so the Holy Spirit connects himself with truth. He is known as, in John chapter 14, what we're reading, he is known as the Spirit of Truth. What is happening here? He is the comforter. He is the person that comes and cries out and leads and defends and helps us to abide in God's purpose of truth for us. Verse 17. Even the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwell with you and shall be in you. So, the Spirit of Truth cannot be received by world. What's a synonym for the world? Well, synonym for world is flesh. World, flesh, and the devil. Or the desires, or the mold that this world is trying to push us in. Be not conformed to this world. Don't be conformed to the pressures of this world, to what the world says is important. Why? Because the world cannot be led by whom? The Spirit. And what is the Spirit identified here in verse number 17 of John chapter 14? The Spirit of what? The Spirit of Truth. So if you're conformed to this world and you're following the desires of the flesh and you're neglecting the Spirit of Truth, you are not being led by whom? The Spirit of Truth. And that means you are not in what? You're not in truth. All right? You're in temptation. You're in evil. And it will destroy you. And we come before our Father in heaven through the means of prayer to say, don't lead us in temptation, but deliver us from evil. Well, what's the provision that he's given to us to lead us in the path of godly sorrow that works to salvation? Well, he's given us the provision of the Spirit of truth. You cannot receive them if you're of the world. You cannot receive them of earthly things. You cannot receive them from working in the flesh. You have to receive it in what it is given, the Spirit. The Spirit who is identified and is one with truth. The world can't see him. It doesn't know him. But ye know him. Christian, we know who the Spirit is. Why? Well, unlike the disciples, he just doesn't dwell with us. He dwells in us, right? So the Spirit of truth is providing leadership to us in the path we're to take in truth. Now that's exciting, is it not? We don't have to depend on us. We can depend on Christ and his provision of truth. Verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. So the truth of the matter is we understand that we have life because Christ has life. We understand that we have this opportunity to see Christ again because Christ lived again. After he was put to death, he rose 3 days victorious from the grave. Verse 20, at that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. So the Father's in Christ, Christ is in the Father, and the Father in Christ is in whom? Me. He's in me, leading me. He hath my commandments and keepeth them. He is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Okay, let's think about this very quickly. What is this saying? We're working out some truths. Who is this Spirit? Well, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. The Spirit of truth is given to you so that he will lead you in what is truth. And he will fight against your Adamic nature, or what Adam has given to you because of the fall. The desires of the flesh that aren't rooted in Christ and his commandments are in opposition to this Spirit of truth. If you love the Father and you love Christ, the Holy Spirit of truth will be at work in your life and will cause you to do what? His will, his commandments. And when you fail, there will be a spark within you given to you by the Holy Spirit or the Spirit of truth to have a godly repentance. And that godly repentance, as we looked at last week, works its fruits out in your life. Why? Because you have a comforter. You have somebody that will stand for you. Somebody that will advocate for you. Verse 22, Judas said unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and he will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So what is this? If a man loves me, what will he do? He'll keep my word. And because he keeps my word, it will identify to my Father, and my Father will love him and will come unto him and will make their abode with him. If you love Christ, you keep his sayings. If you love Christ, your life changes. If you love Christ, the things you used to do, you don't do them anymore. Your life is not about yourself once you become a Christian. Your life is being led by the Spirit of Truth. And this is what is concerning me about Christendom today in my own life, and sometimes in what I see in your lives at times, is this lack of desire to follow truth. The lack of desire to say no to our desires and say yes to the direction of the Holy Spirit. Is he leading you? Is he guiding you? If he's guiding you, he will guide you in truth, and he will guide you in the things that Christ will lift up. Do you want to know Christ better? Do you want to know the reality of your loving Savior that gave his life for you? Then who should you follow? The leading of what? The leading of the Spirit. So what is this provision that God has given to us? The provision that God has given to us to keep us on a path that will deliver us from evil through godly sorrow, which worketh repentance unto salvation, is the Spirit of Truth in our life. Are you serious about knowing the Spirit of Truth? Let's go to John chapter 16. Seven through 14. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin. So how do we know that we are sinners? Through who? The Spirit of Truth. How do we know what's right? The Spirit of Truth. And how do we know that judgment will come on all rebels? The Spirit of Truth. Verse number 8. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Now this is a magnificent verse, because it shows that we understand Christ and the righteousness of Christ and what Christ is as a person because of our relationship with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Comforter that helps us understand the depths of truth in this word. So when we read the Word of God, it's not just enough to have an intellectual understanding of what truth says. We need a Spirit-filled understanding of truth. I'm still trying to understand what that looks like. All right? I think this is a lifelong goal that Christians have, is to know what the Spirit of Truth looks like in their lives, to identify it by faith. And that faith has substance. There needs to be substance in our relationship to the Spirit. There needs to be a substance of our faith in the guidance of the Spirit and what he's trying to guide us in and through. There should be a desire to understand and have a knowledge of the Spirit's relationship with us. Why? Because the Spirit shows us what sin is. What it looks like to believe not in Christ. He shows us what righteousness is, because Christ has gone to the Father and you don't see him, no, you see him no more. So, in Christ's earthly ministry, it was easy to see what righteousness looked like for the disciples, because who were they around all the time? They got to see Jesus and how he reacted to every circumstance. They got to see the power of God through Jesus Christ. But yet Christ, at the end of his ministry, says, okay, so now it's time to level up. I've been teaching you the ABCs were taught, the rudiments of our faith were taught in the Old Testament. Now I'm adding to those rudiments by giving to you who I am on this earth. But now it's time for you to mature and go to the next level, and your maturity will be able to be shown through my ability to give to you this spirit of truth that will now be able to lead you in all truth. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Do we not need this today? Man, I don't know if you, it's probably not a good thing to listen to too much news, but I would say the prince of this world is very evident in the world we're living in today. And if we're not careful, we think that the prince of this world is winning when we view through our flesh. What does the spirit of truth show us? The prince of this world is already what? He's already under judgment. He's already a defeated foe. Do you have the spirit of truth identifying that to you? Listen, Christians that are carnal, you can't understand this if you're in love with the world. You can't understand this if your whole life is focused on this world. Where is the reality to the spirit of truth in your life? What is the focus of your life? Is it filled with worry and anxiety? Is it filled with the accolades of this world? Is it filled with the promises that are just for a short season of the pleasures of sin? What's your desire? Is it in truth? Howbeit, verse 13, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into how much truth in verse number 13? Some truth, right? A little bit of truth. The majority of truth. All truth. What's our connection to truth? The spirit of truth. How many of us even identify his leadership in our life? How many of us even know how to identify his leadership in our life? For you to be guided by someone, what does that mean? You have to. Can I guide you into where my house is if you refuse to move? No. Can I guide? How many of you have ever tried to guide kids that think they know everything? How many of you have ever tried to guide adults that think they know everything? You tell some adults some things, and they think they know more than you, and they say, no, we're going to do it my way. And you walk away, and you go, guess what? They're not living in reality. They're not living in what reality is. I love, let me rephrase this. All parents do not like it when they tell their children reality and their children try to give them their version of reality. Right? No, we don't like that. Do you think God, who knows all reality, who is truth and defines truth, likes it when we say, you know what? This Holy Spirit thing, I don't think it's that important. I think I can depend on my intellect. I think I can depend on my feelings. I think I can just depend on reading the Word of God and finding out for myself and doing moral correct things without the leadership of the Holy Spirit. You're not going to be guided in truth unless you are yielding yourself to the Holy Spirit. Our desires of flesh, that are sinful last for but a season. And the Holy Spirit guides us as Christians, does he not? He tells us what's right. And we say, no, I'm focused on what my flesh is telling me what right is. And we never experience all truth as God's desire is for us. So, Christian, if you're reading the Word of God, if you're studying the Word of God, if you're praying, do you need to be afraid of what decisions you should make? Well, you don't need to be afraid if you are understanding that the Comforter, your advocate, will direct you in all truth. He'll direct you in the decisions you should make that will be connected with truth. Verse 13, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Now let me stop here and just identify this for you. Through God's redemptive work in man, he shows us the attitude that we must have in order to have, and we'll, at the end of the sermon, I'll give you an illustration of this. He shows us the attitude through his own person, through God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He shows us the attitude we are to have in order for us to do his will and to abide in truth. You know what that is? It's an attitude of humility. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are equal in character, are they not? They are all God. They are all self-existent. They are all eternal. They are all-powerful. They are all-knowing. But yet, what do? When it comes to redemption of men, when it comes to fellowship with men, when it comes to dealing with men, they show humility one to another. Christ shows humility to the Father. The Holy Spirit shows humility to Christ. They work as a team, as one person in three different personalities, one God with three different personalities, one identifying in human God flesh through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus Christ is the only part of the Trinity that's both human and spirit. He is the eternal God-man now. What are they doing for us? In their mediation to us, they're showing a spirit of humility and oneness with each other. They're identifying and putting down promotion of themselves for promotion of each other. The Holy Spirit is promoting Christ. Christ is promoting the Father. The Father is promoting Christ and the Holy Spirit. They're working as one together to show us this. What does the Holy Spirit do? He glorifies me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. He glorifies Christ, the Spirit does. Now, let's look at this war that we see. What's the war that keeps us from following the leading of the Spirit of truth? John 15. John 15 talks about one abiding in the vine, which is Christ, in order to bear fruit. And the antithesis of Christ, or truth, is the world. And the witness bearer of Christ will be the Spirit of truth. So this war is going against truth. What is going against truth? Well, the world. What identifies and bears witness to truth? The Holy Spirit. Verse 26 and 27 tells us in John 15 this. But when the Comforter is come, who I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall, what shall he do? He shall testify me, and ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. So what is this happening? Well, the apostles would go out and testify that the Spirit has come and that the Spirit is identifying Christ. So what keeps us again into truth and away from the enemy of truth? The Holy Spirit that bears witness of Christ. So, Romans chapter 8, 1 through 4 gives us even more insight into this spirit of truth. This is God's plan through his provision of the Holy Spirit. His plan is to take rebel man that has come and shown rebellion against him. It is to come and take him to the position of being back into truth. This man that has rebelled against God, this man that has followed against the world, Christ sent the Holy Spirit of truth to bear witness that Christ is truth and that the world is a lie. Why? Because those that follow a lie will be in condemnation. Verse 1 of Romans 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life, in Christ hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. Let's stop. If you are not being led by the Spirit, but rather you are constantly walking and living after the flesh, you are under condemnation. You are under judgment. God does not want you under judgment, but he wants you to be in truth. So who does he send? He sends the Spirit of truth. Why? Because our flesh is too weak to follow truth on its own. Our flesh will not follow truth. It's too weak. The law is perfect. Our sin is powerful. Our sin has more power over us than the perfection of the law. What does God provide? He provides to us a comforter. A comforter that won't just make us understand that we will not see God's justification, or God will not declare us righteous unless the process of a new life is placed in us. Not only that, but he also shows us that we now are made perfectly fit for the Godhead to reside in us. And that Godhead that resides in us longs to lead us, but it cannot lead us through this flesh, through this body of sin. It has to lead us with what God provides. And what does God provide to us? God provides to us the Holy Spirit, also identified as the Spirit of truth. Why? How was this made open to us? Verse 3 of Romans 8 says, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. How? Who walk not after the flesh, but after the what? After the Spirit. Who are you walking after? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Is the Holy Spirit identifying himself through the fruits that he's giving in your life? In conclusion, I want to remind you of man's first choice in the garden. Would he trust and obey God by eating the tree of life, or trust in his own knowledge by partaking of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? We know how man chooses. The same question confronts every Christian daily. Will we trust in our own wisdom or give ourselves over to the working and leading of the Spirit of truth? Only through the Spirit and the leading of the Spirit of truth will we realize God's provision and God leading us not into temptation, but rather delivering us from evil. So this year, this lifetime that we have, this the rest of our life until Christ comes back or until we depart this body, we should live with a desire to allow the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us in all truth. That means there not, must be, and we're not going to be guided by the Spirit unless we understand that the Spirit is guiding us. Does everybody? So many times we think just by doing the right or moral thing that we're being led by the Spirit without understanding or being guided or even feeling the guiding of the Spirit in any way. Look, I have, in a new and a fresh way, seen the need to understand that the Spirit is guiding me. Not to just make decisions because we think it's the right decision, but to know this is the Spirit of truth leading me in all truth. I hope that's the desire of you. Doesn't mean that I speak in tongues. Doesn't mean that I go crazy. What it does mean is I, by faith, accept that Christ, through his love for me and through his provision on the cross, has given me the great person of the Holy Spirit to lead me into repentance that leads to salvation, not to be repented of. And he's given me fruit from the Word of God that identifies to me whether I am being guided by the Spirit of truth or whether I'm being guided by myself. And in humility, we need to fall on our faces as Christians and beg the Holy Spirit to make himself known in his guiding of us. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your word. We just pray that you would use it in a great way. In Jesus' name, amen.